This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Greg Kim. The Army Corps of Engineers announced last week that it will postpone its final environmental review of the proposed Pebble Mine for 3 months, but the Corps will not perform any more fieldwork, and it won't issue a supplement to its draft report, even though multiple state and federal departments have said the report lacks critical information. Corps official Sheila Newman says her agency will use the extra time to respond to concerns raised during the public comment period.
We're making sure that the answers are thorough and well understood.
The Corps is a lead agency preparing the EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement for the proposed mine in southwest Alaska. The Pebble Partnership says the gold mine would provide as many as 1,000 jobs. Opponents say the mine risks polluting salmon streams and threatens the huge Bristol Bay commercial fishery. Newman, in a phone call with reporters, downplayed the Corps' role. She says her agency has no authority over things like how Pebble plans to operate the mine or how it will restore the land once the mine shuts down.
Most of the field work that will be required in the future, if this project goes forward, falls under the direct authority of the state of Alaska, not the federal government.
A spokeswoman for commercial fishermen for Bristol Bay says the response is disappointing. Lindsay Bloom says it sounds like the Corps has no intention of using the delay to fill the information gaps other agencies identified.
That is exactly what I heard. We're going to take 90 days to try to explain ourselves better without doing any more work, collecting any more data, or being any more thorough.
Congress passed a bill this month with a section authored by Senator Lisa Murkowski that essentially tells the Corps it has to thoroughly address potential impacts of the mine, even if that means additional study. Newman from the Corps says a new timeline came out of 6 days of technical meetings with other agencies cooperating on the environmental review. She says a final report is now expected in late June or early July, with a final permitting decision likely a month or two later. A Pebble spokesman says the Corps is doing a thorough review and the mining company is not worried about the 90-day delay. Next, in fishing. Chinook salmon, also known as king salmon, are getting smaller, and a team of scientists at the University of Washington think they know why. As Eric Stone reports from Alaska's Energy Desk, a new study says killer whales might be behind Chinook's declining size.
Chinook salmon are an important part of life in southeast Alaska. Part of the prized fish's value is its size. Chinook are the largest Pacific salmon. But in the last 2 years, returns have been low. Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Petersburg all saw their king salmon derbies canceled in 2018 and 2019, and forecasts for 2020 don't look much better. But it's not just their numbers that are declining. University of Washington researcher Jan Olberger published a paper last year that shows Chinook are getting smaller, too, up to 10% smaller. That discovery intrigued the researcher.
The question is, what is the cause of that?
A causal claim is difficult to make. Correlation, of course, doesn't always imply causation. So Olberger and his team started modeling the effects of several hypothesized causes of the decline in size. They looked at environmental factors, climate, changes in the salmon's prey, even competition with other salmon species. Olberger's team also looked at the effect of commercial and sport fishing, since fishermen, of course, prefer larger fish. But over the last 50 years, the researchers say the impact of fishing has shrunk. Of course, humans aren't the only animals who love to snack on Chinook.
Killer whales currently are estimated to consume more adult fish, more adult Chinook salmon, than fishery catches.
Killer whale populations along the Alaska coast are booming, and they love big old kings.
Resident killer whales specifically prey on Chinook salmon and have a preference for the largest fish.
Olberger says his simulations show that killer whales' preference for larger salmon may explain the decline in Chinook size.
These killer whales are having an effect on Chinook salmon, not only on numbers, but specifically on the mean sizes, and they likely have induced some evolutionary change.
As killer whales pick off the biggest salmon, that leaves smaller Chinook to reproduce. So what does that mean for wildlife managers tasked with sustainably managing Chinook populations?
If killer whales are contributing to these coastwide trends, any local management action needs to be put in a broader context.
Olberger says the findings could give officials a broader picture of what's happening to Chinook populations up and down the Pacific coast, and that can help guide management decisions.
So increasing, you know, abundances or hatchery production of Chinook salmon down here might be less effective given that there is a lot of predation.
He says if managers have better information about what's eating what, they can make more informed decisions about how to best protect the struggling Chinook. Olberger's study is published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Reporting from Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
And finally, much of Alaska has been frigid last holiday week and into this week, as temperatures across the state dipped as low as minus 60 degrees Fahrenheit. That's in stark contrast to a year with record high temperatures and major disruptions of traditionally solid sea ice across the Arctic. Despite the late year cold snap, 2019 is still on track to be the warmest year on record for Alaska. For Alaska's Energy Desk, Wesley Early has more.
Rick Toman, a climatologist with the International Arctic Research Center in Fairbanks, says though it's a dramatic drop from this winter's balmy start, the weather pattern is normal for this time of year.
We've just gotten so accustomed to these extremely, you know, just persistent runs of above normal weather that even somewhat below normal for more than a day or two really seems outstanding.
Despite the drop in temperatures, Toman says this last-minute cold snap likely won't change Alaska's record-breaking climate forecast for the year.
2019 is at this point virtually certain to be the warmest year of record for Northwest Alaska and the state as a whole.
While not making much of a dent in the average temperatures for the year, Toman says the cold snap is helping create sturdy sea ice, which saw record low growth during this warmer winter.
The cold weather has helped to pretty much freeze over the Chukchi Sea, of course, very late freeze up, and now starting to work on the Bering Sea. So that's all good news for moving forward as we look ahead to spring.
That's good news for a lot of Arctic communities who rely on sea ice for travel and subsistence hunting. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Wesley Early in Kotzebue.
Thank you for listening to KYUK News. Please send any news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for News Yukdun coming up.